My reading this morning comes from the Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 32, and may be found on page 123 of your pew Bible. Acts 5, 27 through 32. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, this name. Yet here you are. Here you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and Savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Our gospel reading this morning comes from John, the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 31. And you can find that on page 115 in your pew Bible. It is John 19 through 31. Chapter 20. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of his nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I left two verses out. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. All right. I am certain, I have faith that Cheryl is going to be able to put those paper clips together. Because if it's worked three or four times, I know she can do that. But there are some things that we just have to see to believe. Why is that, you think? Are we by nature doubting? You know, Thomas gets a bad rap. People talk about him as being doubting Thomas. Do a little research on all of what Thomas does. The other challenge is when we start to think about Thomas in a way or a manner in that, well, I would have believed. Surely. But who would have believed? I mean, even, you know, last week, Sunday, we're looking at Easter Sunday, we're looking at Mary racing to the tomb, and Peter and John going to the tomb, and they look in, and what do they see? The stone's been rolled away, the cloths are laying there. What do they believe? You know, Mary comes out and sees Jesus. Jesus tells her what's going on and that he's going to the Father and to go and tell his disciples. Well, can you imagine when she comes in and they're worried about the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming and taking them and doing the same thing to them that they did to Jesus? How improbable. How impossible. In Hebrews, the writer Hebrews says that faith is the hope for things not yet seen. Faith is not believing that if you hit that piece of wood hard enough, you're going to injure your hand. I mean, that's a demonstrated fact. That's not faith. Faith is a hope for things not yet seen or not yet made evident. We hope for that resurrection Jesus in 1 Thessalonians with a trumpet sounding and the clouds parting and Jesus descending and we're all rising up to meet him and we live with him with the resurrection bodies for an eternity. That's faith. Because we haven't seen it yet. Well, why do you think Jesus performed all those miracles? He didn't have to perform those miracles to prove to himself that he could do it. He didn't have to do that to demonstrate his great and wonderful powers. I mean, the woman at the well, his ability to speak to her and give her a spirit that has her running back into the town to tell everybody to come out and listen to what this guy has to say. Or the blind man, able to see. The lame man, able to walk. That dead guy, Lazarus, in the tomb, 4 days. He didn't have to do that to prove to himself. Feeding the 5,000. Walking on water. Calming the sea. All of those things were recounted of things that Jesus had done. Why did he do them? To prove he could? They were done so that you would have evidence of the power and the grace and the glory of what God could do. When Jairus' daughter, when he goes in there and prays and she is born again or raised, reanimated, that's love. Jesus has pity and love and sympathy for us and heals us. Well, let's get back to this setting and this scene where the disciples are in this room because they're still very much in fear of what could possibly happen. Jesus came and stood among them and said, well, wait a minute. The doors are locked. The windows are closed. How did Jesus just walk in? It's a resurrection body. Well, what's he show them? Shows them his hands and his feet. But when he shows up, he says, peace be with you. And after this, he shows them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. What else are you going to do? I mean, he just walks through the wall. He just shows up. And the last you knew, he was dead, even though Mary has come and told them. It's like, this is just too much to believe. I mean, okay, Mary saw Jesus. Okay. And the tomb's empty. Okay. Peter and John verify that. But they don't really know, even though Jesus has said that he would come again. Well, now they see it. Now they rejoice. You think they believe it now? They believe that he's been raised, but they still don't understand the fullness of what Jesus has been preaching and teaching them. Because the Holy Spirit hasn't come to him yet. Because Jesus said, I go to the Father so that the Holy Spirit will come as a comforter and a counselor and an advocate. And he's going to reveal things to them that Jesus had already told them, but they didn't understand. Because the right attitude, the right mentality, you just have to broaden your horizon. You have to get to a point where you believe, you're willing to believe, because you have to suspend your disbelief. You know, for the longest time, till sometime in the early 1900s, no one had run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Couldn't be done. Couldn't be done. Can't happen. Well, then this guy named Roger Bannister comes around. Now, keep in mind, these aren't really fast tracks. These are cinders. And he runs a sub 4 minute mile. Guess it can be done. And now they're down around 3 minutes and 50 some seconds. That is smoking. But people didn't believe it could be done until someone else does it, until someone demonstrates that it is possible. You think the disciples in the boat believed Peter could walk on water? Hello, Jesus is walking out and they got a problem believing that one. But when Jesus calls to Peter and he steps out of the boat and starts walking towards him, holy moly, I didn't know Peter could do that. Oh, there he is. That doubt got him. He's starting to sink. Okay. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Uh-oh. Now they got their mission statement. Now they got their walking papers. Now they've got their prime directive. As God has sent Jesus, so he then sends you. We are followers of Jesus Christ. Through our baptism and through communion, we have joined that host of believers in Jesus Christ. And because of that, we all have this purpose and mission to go. It doesn't say build a nice church building and put a nice welcome sign out and invite everybody in to have grandma's favorite casserole. Now, those are good things to do, and it gets people to come in. But he says, go into the world and what? Preach my gospel. Preach the good news. He tells us to go. He tells us to set up that food pantry on Saturdays and people come. But we're in the community because, you know, our soupies take quarts of soup and crackers and they go wherever they know that people need food. Jesus is now telling them, just as God has sent me, so I now send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. Because their lives are never going to be the same. Matter of fact, the story we read in Acts, what happened? They're standing before all of the people that just crucified Jesus Christ. They know what they can do. They know what they could do. And they're saying, don't preach in his name. And he said, look, we're going to preach it. Even though you put him to death, he's been raised from the dead by God the Father. That's why we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord. And believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. And that's our salvation. And you know what? Nobody can take that away from you. They can persecute you. They can punish you. They can kill you. But they cannot take your faith away from you. I heard one amen. Hallelujah. Now here's the other thing. Not only do they have the Holy Spirit that's going to be lifting them up and revealing them to them things that God has told them, Jesus has told them, throughout the 2 years, 3 years that they've been with him, now they're going to start to really understand this. How are they going to do that? Because the Holy Spirit's going to help them. But now what else happens? If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now they have been given not only this power, but this authority. You know, he sent them off in twos. And they came back and hadn't been able to cast out some demons and hadn't been able to heal some people. And Jesus said, some of these things are difficult, but with God, all things are possible. Philippians 4:13, right? But you know, there's always somebody who's the last to find out. And Thomas is the guy who gets the brunt here because he wasn't there. You think if it had been any of the other disciples, if they hadn't been there, but Thomas had been there, do you think they would have believed? Everybody else telling them, this is too fantastical. This is too incredible to believe. So yeah, but here's a point on Thomas. We have seen the Lord, but he said to them, unless, and this is where sometimes we are just hard-headed. Alex, sometimes we're just hard-headed, right? But you know what? God has an infinite amount of patience. He said, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. He's got a choice to believe or not believe, but he's saying these are the conditions upon which he's going to believe. Now, was Jesus in the room when he says this? No. Read what happens when Jesus comes into the room a week later. A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with him. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Deja vu. They've seen this before, right? Thomas hasn't. But he goes right to Thomas and he says, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. How did he know exactly what it was that Thomas needed in order for him to believe? He needed to see it. He needed to touch it. And Jesus didn't come in and beat him up over it. You know, hey, I was just here with the other guys. You don't trust them. You don't believe that they would tell you the truth. No. He meets us where we are. But he doesn't leave us where he finds us. I mean, some people say, you know, I haven't found Jesus yet. Well, Jesus is looking for you, guys. Come on. Sometimes you have to look inside your heart. I guarantee you, he's here beside you. He's here with you, no matter where you are. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe. Well, guess what? That comment is not just for Thomas. That comment is for all of us. 2,000 years after the events have occurred, there was such a certainty of what the disciples had observed, the miracles that were performed in that first century church, all of the strength of people, even going to crosses, even being burned on crosses, rather than renouncing their faith in Jesus Christ. And who knows how many miracles and wonders were performed. And even John says, you know, a lot more stuff happened. You know, many signs other than these were written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in his name. Because when you believe in something strongly enough, no one else can take it away from you. No matter what. Do you have a faith and a hope in Christ Jesus? Because You know, has anybody seen Jesus? I mean, I've seen some wonderful cloud formations. I've seen some lovely sunsets. I've seen some beautiful flowers. I've seen my daughter born. Those are wonders of God. And in every one of those wonders, there's a part of God in that. The totality of it is life itself. But there's more than that. You ever look out in the fields, and we are blessed late at night when the clouds are gone, if the clouds are gone, if they're ever gone, and you see all those stars, because we can see them, because there isn't that ambient light unless you're down in Deltaville. But if you're out here in the fields by the parsonage, you look up there, and how can you not have wonder and awe at how marvelous that creation is? And there was nothing before God spoke, and stuff happened. Seeing is believing is a human phrase, is one that we use. Because faith, as the writer of Hebrews says, faith is the hope for things not yet seen or not yet made evident. In other words, it's something that our human senses can't show us, tell us that it's there. But our faith and our hope is what takes us past the physical limitations. You have to suspend your disbelief in order to believe that those things that we believe are impossible not only are probable, but are possible. And not only possible, but have already been done. You think it's easy to forgive someone who sinned their entire life? The thief on the cross looked at Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." But you know what happened before that? He rebuked the other thief because he said, "We sinned our whole lives. We're hanging on a cross dying because we deserve this. This man has done nothing." And what does Jesus say? "Truly, I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise." It was by faith that thief had hope. He looked at Jesus and he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That's a leap of faith. So have the peace of Christ. The faith that Thomas has after he sees, and the disciples have after they see. Because after that, even the Sanhedrin can't make them stop preaching because the word has got them and they got to preach. They've got to share. They're on fire for Christ. May the Holy Spirit be in you as He is in and was in them. In this world, shalom.